and a very happy Halloween to my radio and virtual listening family, or if you're listening to an encore of this program, happy November, December, January, or whatever month you are choosing to indulge in this program. Regardless of the month, you will not be disappointed. This will be 43 to 44 minutes of stimulating conversation, possibly a few swear words directed at your listening device. And you might even learn something. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with my brother in broadcasting, mate of the microphone, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, where L stands for lots of knowledge and humor. How are you today, Dr. Ronald?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, acceptable and slightly irrespectable, as we get ready to, at least at the time of the first broadcast of said program, welcome the month of November. It is Halloween, of course, ever since early 2020. It's kind of been nonstop Halloween. I don't think it's changing anytime soon. And in just a few days, it will be Election Day. Talk about a scary thought. You know, one thing that's fascinating, Ron, you know, I love, I guess chronology would be the word, grammar, spelling, geography, is that, you know, Election Day, as you know, but maybe not everybody knows, isn't necessarily the first Tuesday of the month. It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
And that's correct.
During the Obama administration, when daylight savings time was extended by a week, it actually is skewed by an hour, which is kind of
that's
fascinating,
yep,
altogether. I think that might mean, I have to look at my calendar specifically, but this would be one of the latest election days because of the clock being turned back an hour. So a little bit confusing, but bottom line is it's not Tuesday the 1st, because it can't be on the 1st, because as our founding fathers wisely decided, you really can't have Election Day the day after Halloween, you know, kind of two sort of holidays that really have too much in common. So instead, you would make it on the 8th, then it's much closer to Veterans Day, and that kind of fits better, I think. So November 8th.
Veterans Day didn't exist at the time of the founding fathers, don't forget that.
Yes. But, you know, I don't go back
that
far.
That's after the First World War, yeah.
Yeah, I don't go back that far, so our next generation of founding fathers and hopefully a few founding mothers in there also, because we've talked about that too. But if we were to continue rambling, the 44 minutes of broadcasting would quickly be coming to a conclusion. Therefore, we'll just touch on this topic. Bottom line is it can't be on November 1st. It has to be the 2nd through the 8th, and still just a few days away. We have major elections, Ron. State to our north, Michigan, two very different candidates. Two candidates in Ohio, or I would suspect
36 states are having gubernatorial elections. The most, it's always in the Ohio election, they have the most gubernatorial elections. So it's really very significant. You're right.
Yeah, I would expect that DeWine will be reelected, but the Senate race, Mr. Vance and Mr. Ryan, that's a very close one, but I think Vance is going to win, but it's not going to be as much of a runaway victory as the expected result of the gubernatorial election. And I will say, as I've certainly done before, I have an extreme dislike for all the candidates. There are some things about DeWine that I like, as I think he is very smart and as a career politician, knows the system. Mm-hmm. He's a great lawyer, but he's also getting up there in the age department.
Everybody in government is now, all the leaders. That's one of the things I wrote about this past week in the House particularly. There's a need for new leadership no matter who's in charge, you know.
And interestingly, there are things he has done on the right and things that he's done on the left that I find to be very disheartening. On the left would be his stand on the transgender sports issue, that is allowing biological males to play sports as females, which is very dangerous and extremely unfair, but I'm not going to keep harping on that. I think my opinion is well known. I would expect Ron and I agree on that one.
I didn't realize. So DeWine is not making an issue of transgender?
My understanding is he's not. Now, of course, there's some controversy regarding that.
But all Republicans were doing that.
Yeah, my understanding is, although he may agree with me, and I think you agree also, Ron, he really hasn't made much of an issue about it. Whereas your governor, another guy named Ron, has made a big issue, and I certainly support that. I mean, I don't like everything about Ron D., your governor, who is an R, that is Republican, but his last name starts with a D. But that is certainly one thing where he stood his ground, and I do applaud him because it's a sensitive issue, but it's also a common sense one, not to mention a safety issue. But again, I think my opinion is well established. And also one issue where Ron and I don't agree would be the COVID and so-called pandemic-related restrictions, where DeWine, I feel, I think you'd agree on this, Ron, that he acted more like a Democratic governor than a lot of the Republican governors. And so that's one thing that initially certainly turned me off to him about 2.5 years ago. One thing Ron and I do agree is DeWine's stance on abortion. I don't like it. Ron, my guest today, doesn't like it. And that's one thing that DeWine was pretty adamant about when he was elected. And certainly that's come to fruition, to put it mildly, since the defeat of Roe v. Wade earlier this year. But again, the things I do like about DeWine are some of the on-paper qualifications, just that he's been around a while. He knows the system. He's a good attorney. He's not too far from Marion, is where he's from, out southeastern Dayton suburbs. So, and I think in general he's a good man. He's just torn in a lot of issues.
More about Ohio than I do. I didn't realize that your governor is pro-choice.
No, he's anti-choice. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he's anti-choice.
Yeah, I'm purposely confusing people into listening. You and I agree that
You're not anti-choice.
Right. You and I, Ron, agree that we don't agree on his viewpoint.
They don't want women to have to control their own bodies,
Does that make any sense at all?
I thought I was confused there for a minute that you were saying he was otherwise.
Yeah, I think I was purposely confusing just to make sure people pay attention. So it's kind of like a two levels of agreement.
I said, huh?
Yeah. Well, as my dad said, I'm too poor. I can't afford to pay attention. So maybe that's the issue also. Ron is the author of a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, and we're going to discuss some of his recent blog entries and some news entries. But I do want to implore listeners, you know, jokes aside, confusing people into paying attention aside, get your rear end out to the polls on the 8th and vote. Personally don't agree with early voting. I don't agree with absentee balloting unless you have a valid reason, like you're in the military or at college. I think people should go to the polls and wait online and use the ballot box. But if you must vote early, it's certainly better than not voting at all. And even if you support candidates that I don't like, that's fine. That's our right as an American. Get your, as I said, rear end out to the polls or to the early voting place and vote. Pick the candidate that you like, or in the case of these two big Ohio races, pick the one that you are least repulsed by. And that's what I'll be doing for both governor and Senate. There are a lot of school ballots, school issues on the ballot. In Marion, there's a fire department levy. Certainly the fire department needs funds. They need to update. So again, use your judgment and do what you feel is right. Where I live has a school district levies. There are multiple city levies. And again, even if you don't agree with me, your friends, your spouse, other family members, get out and vote, because that's the American way. And that's one thing that I know Ron and I definitely agree on. It's part of the American way. And like with pretty much all the elections in the last generation, there will certainly be surprises when they count the votes. Who knows? Maybe Nan Whaley will become our next governor. Maybe Tim Ryan will become our next senator. I would certainly think, Ron, that if Whaley pulls an upset, which is possible, it's outside chance, maybe. She's certainly been a regular guest with Scott Spears on this station. So one thing I do like about her, because I don't dislike everything about her, and I'd love to see a woman governor. I'm not sure she's the one I'd like to see, but she is smart. She's a whippersnapper, and she's been a very gracious guest of Scott Spears on this radio station. But I think you would agree that if she wins, it also means that Tim Ryan would win, that they would turn Democratic.
Yes, I would think so. I think Tim Ryan, I would bet, will win anyway. I really think he will, because I think he's done a very good job of campaigning against J.D. Vance. But I do think that probably Nan Whaley will not win.
Yeah,
It could happen in a lot of states.
But as you
and
know...
It could happen in a number of states where the governor election goes to one party and the Senate election goes to the other.
It does become cyclical. You know? We become Democratic then Republican, kind of back and forth. We had Obama, then we had Trump, and now we have Biden. And that's, I think, one reason. I think you would agree with this, Ron, is it's looking good for Republicans in the next election. As
in the House, not this. I don't think in the Senate. I still think the Senate will remain Democratic, but the House, yes.
Yeah, well,
and I've already said that's going to be a tragedy because Kevin McCarthy is going to let himself be run by the lunatics in his party, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Matt Gaetz. And you know, there's all kinds of predictions of horrors coming, and I'm worried about it because it's not good for the country.
Right. Well, it certainly will be excellent fodder for this and other talk shows. So if you like to hear about the system, get involved with the system, and to see what's going on in the country that we love and call home and pay taxes to, certainly keep your ears and eyes glued to media, because there will be lots to talk about. That is for sure. So you think Ryan might win, Ron, but we do agree it'll be a close race regardless of what the outcome is.
Yes, but I think Tim Ryan's a really good candidate, and he's a blue-collar kind of guy. You know, he's not an elitist, so I think he's got a very good chance, really.
Yeah, I mean, Vance certainly says what's on his mind. I'm not sure I agree with a lot of what he says. In fact, I kind of question exactly how sharp his mind is to begin with, but he certainly is one to provide an opinion, isn't he? And, you know, he's been compared to, like a young Donald Trump, something else that's been done to your current governor, Mr. DeSantis. I think we'd agree,
yeah,
DeSantis.
He sold his soul, J.D. Vance, because he was anti-Trump. Now he's suddenly kissing Trump's rear end. And I think that's despicable because it shows he has no principle. That's why I think Vance is a terrible choice. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens. You know,
I will say that Vance seems to the right of DeSantis, and DeSantis, we don't question his intelligence. He has two Ivy League degrees, very smart man, and certainly well above Vance in the IQ department. I think we can agree on that one. But
yes, but Vance is, I think, someone who should not be in the Senate any more than Herschel Walker should be in the Senate from Georgia. He's an embarrassment. He really is.
Well, he was a pretty good football player, but maybe he should.
Yeah, but that's 40 years ago, and he's got mental damage and emotional problems. He's an unstable person. He should not be representing a state in the Senate. And the person who's there now is a pastor and is a distinguished gentleman, and I think he deserves to get it. But, you know, Georgia is a state you can never figure out. But last time they surprised us, they elected both Democrats. So we'll have to wait and see.
Either way, Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz are two of the most interesting candidates to run for office.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, has had many intriguing entries of late, not surprisingly, as the election time is rapidly approaching. We're touching on gubernatorial elections. Let's look at the blog, Ron, from last Saturday. Three crucial gubernatorial elections of women in upcoming midterm elections. As I mentioned, I'd love to see a woman as governor. It's the particular woman that I might question. So one state to our north, we have Gretchen Whitmer. And although I may agree with her on some things, I find her to be a mask worshiper, and they should throw her in jail for her illegal activities, but we won't get into that. But her competitor really isn't much better, the right-wing extremist Tudor Dixon. Kind of a cool name.
A woman. So it's a woman versus woman there in Arizona. So definitely a woman. Yeah, that's true.
I think maybe in Arizona some of the cacti have had an effect on some of these candidates. Maybe it's the cold up in Michigan. Not quite sure. But yeah, I can't say I'm a fan of either Whitmer or Dixon. They certainly are both extreme. And I think something else Ron and I can agree about. We need more moderate candidates. I think if we were to ask Ron, he would agree that Whitmer is a bit too much to the left, but her candidate
well,
is far to the right.
Bit. I wouldn't go as far as too much, but I think she's going to win that election. But I'm worried about Arizona. Arizona's gone off the deep end, and I'm afraid Carrie Lake will be winning over Katie Hobbs, who won't debate her, which I think is a mistake. She should be debating her, even though she doesn't want to give her the time of day. But that's, I think, a blunder on the part of Katie Hobbs.
Then we have Georgia with their female Democratic governor, Stacey Abrams, running against
her. Not governor, lost the election, but running against her opponent who was governor, Brian
Kemp. Right, Brian Kemp.
Yeah.
Right. Let's try to rephrase that. Female gubernatorial candidate and current governor, Brian Kemp. That makes sense.
Yes, and I think there she's going to lose, but I think that he will win. Warnock will win, I think. It's going to be a split. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be very close. And we're going to have people claiming the elections are fixed. And, you know, Trump's going to promote that. And it's going to cause a lot of grief after the fact, because the question will be, will we ever have anybody accept that they've lost or won? You know, that's the whole thing. It's a very dangerous situation, the election deniers. So
either way, there will be a female governor in Michigan.
And in Arizona, yes.
Not sure about Georgia, but you're thinking Brian Kemp will probably remain there. And I don't think Whaley will win Ohio, but, you know, it's not over till it's over. So who knows?
And in New York, Kathy Hochul is running, you know, for a full term. I think she probably will beat Lee Zeldin, the Republican nominee, but it's getting a little close. And again, polls, you never know. Polls are so unreliable. They change all the time, and often they're not correct. So what it's come down to is getting to the point where I even want to hear about polls anymore. It's driving me crazy, because you keep on having switches, and you don't know what's going to really happen. Yeah. Now, a lot of people voted early, and it's hard to know how that's going to affect the result. It's so many factors to think about.
Yeah, lots of fake news out there, like Donald Trump would say, and bottom line is, until the votes are counted, we really don't know. Then we look at the accuracy of the votes. As I've said, I don't agree with, I question, and in many cases don't agree with the outcome of all elections since 2000, since the Hanging Chads incident, and that occurs whether or not I support the candidate who won. We just need to fix the system. So let's just pretend that the counts are accurate. And may the best man or woman win. Last Friday in your blog, Ron, a rather fascinating entry. Four Floridians. Four, that's kind of a tongue twister. Four Floridians for president in the Republican primary. And that includes, of course, your existing governor, Mr. Ron DeSantis. We have a former New Yorker, now Floridian, guy named Donald J. Trump. I think we know who he is. We have the gentleman whose ears are so big, he probably hears me talking about him. But if he does, well, hello there, Mr. Rubio. Senator Marco Rubio, you've described him as kind of lazy, as I think that's kind of been your assessment of him. And of course,
not too swift, not too much in the brains department either.
Rick Scott. So,
Rick Scott, he's Voldemort without a smashed nose from Harry Potter. If you look at his face, he looks just like Voldemort, if you know the character.
Yeah, quite
in the movie.
Quite an assortment of beauties, aren't they? Well, we're not voting
he
on
is.
Their looks, we're voting on...
Well, if you're going to go on looks, Rick Scott is the ugly one. The handsome one, I say, is DeSantis, and the other two are in the middle.
Of course, Rubio's wife was a cheerleader for Tampa Bay or one of the other sports teams in Florida,
yes.
So she's a pretty one in that marriage. Kind of like Donald Trump and Melania. It's obvious who is the pretty one there, but
yeah. But all for a theory. I mean, it's Trump definitely will probably run, and will so with DeSantis. But the other two certainly are interested too. So they could all be running and all be in the Florida presidential primary with everybody else. Of course, there'll be so many people running, but it makes you wonder who would win that in Florida, primary among those four. They all were on the ballot literally at the same time.
I think I made it clear that Rubio, DeSantis will win, and Nikki Haley might be his VP. Kristi Noem, she's just too conservative, and who cares about South Dakota? Nikki Haley, I think, would be a better choice.
Well, we did have a presidential candidate from South Dakota, George McGovern, in 1972.
And we know what happened there. We know what happened there, didn't we?
Well, we know we lost, but I'm just saying, so it doesn't mean a small state can't have a presidential or vice presidential candidate.
Well, look what happened when Mr. McCain chose someone from Alaska. That didn't go too well either. So,
well, also think about George W. Bush picked Dick Cheney from Wyoming.
Yeah, well, that worked out better. That worked out a little bit better, I guess.
He had to move back from Texas to Wyoming to be able to be on the ballot. So that's why you could not have Trump and DeSantis on the ticket together, because assuming Trump's not moving, DeSantis can't. So it could not be a combination of the two of them. And I don't think they ever would get along well enough anyway.
Bottom line is you will need both hands, both feet, and you'll have to borrow someone else's hands to count the number of Republicans running in the next presidential primary. And Florida alone requires almost a whole hand to count. So,
well, I think as far as the number that will announce for president, it'll probably be 20 to 25 Republicans. The list I saw of 21, and the others would say 25. And doesn't mean everybody's serious, but I think announced candidates, we're going to have a ton of them. And if Joe Biden chooses not to run, he has to decide by, say, March, then it might be the same number in the Democratic Party. Otherwise, there'll still be a few, because I do think some people will challenge him even if he's announced for the presidency.
We are talking with Dr. Ron Fineman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp here in your speaker of your virtual listening device of choice. Ron, going back a few days to your October blogs, talk about Liz Truss. Now, she didn't last very long as the Prime Minister of the UK. Been a lot of changes there. We have King Charles, and
yes,
we have Liz Truss, who is now, I guess, a private citizen. So before,
I think she's still in the Parliament, I think. I think she is still. Yeah, but she's not the leader of the government. But honestly, you know, I'm no expert on Britain, but looking at those two candidates 8 weeks ago and reading about them before either one was going to be chosen, I really thought that Rishi Sunak was far superior to begin with, and I was surprised that she was picked.
Yeah, I don't quite know if she's a private citizen now or a parliamentarian, but whatever. She's not the prime minister. And have they chosen a successor yet? Or I heard Boris Johnson might come back.
No, it's Rishi Sunak was picked last week.
Okay.
And he went to the king.
Shows what I know. I guess I was paying too much attention to all these people that want to be president or want to be governor. But yes, so tell us about, because honestly, Ron, I didn't know. And I'm not going to pretend, you know, that I forgot.
He was the finance minister. He seems like he's a guy whose parents are from India. He's born, of course, in Britain. He's very British sounding, but he's from South Asian heritage, India. And so he's the first person of color to be prime minister. And he's only 42, so he's the youngest prime minister in more than a century.
42,
she
my
was
goodness.
In her 50s. Trust. So, and he seems interesting, you know, but question is, can the Conservative Party keep control, because they have not done well lately, and I think there will have to be an election within 2 years, and the Labour Party might be favored based on the moment, but we'll have to see how Rishi Sunak does.
I'm almost old enough to be his father. Oh my goodness. Oh well.
Yes. Well, actually, you could be Ron DeSantis' father. Barely, but you could be.
That would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
But he's 44. Well, actually, he's 44. But some young men get people pregnant at 15 or 16, so you could be.
Yeah, well, possibly. That would certainly be cause for some interesting discussions around the family dinner table, wouldn't it?
You could also be Pete Buttigieg's father.
Yeah, he's younger. That would also be quite fascinating, wouldn't it? But
yes, and he's someone to watch. If it turns out Biden decides not to run, he will definitely be in the race and be one of the favorites on the Democratic side.
So if Biden runs, because he's almost 80 right now.
He will be 80 on November 20th.
Yep, not even 3 weeks away, basically.
Do
you think he will have, good point. Do you think he will have challengers in the Democratic primary? Buttigieg obviously being one of the.
I don't think Buttigieg would challenge him, because he's in the administration. It would have to be someone not in the administration. Obviously, Harris is not going to challenge him. I think it could be someone like California Governor Gavin Newsom could do it, or the Illinois Governor J.D. Pritzker could do it. And I have to think about others, but I think there's a chance that someone will decide to challenge him. But that actually will not be a good strategy, because it will weaken the president, as it did with Ford and Carter and H.W. Bush. They all won the nomination, but they all lost elections. So ideally, the Democrats should not splinter, but I think there's a good chance it's going to happen. And I'm not saying they're going to beat him in the primaries, but it's going to cause problems. And I think that will help the Republican Party if that happens.
So you don't think Mr. Buttigieg will challenge his boss, to sit at the Oval Office?
No, I don't see it happening if he's running, and certainly not the vice president would be. But if he ends up saying, I'm not running, then Harris and Buttigieg are probably the front runners, along with, I guess, the California governor. I would say those would be the top three. But if anything can happen in primaries, as you know, so there's no way to know. And based on the past, Buttigieg actually did fairly well. Harris did not, and of course, Newsom didn't run. So there's no way to know what would happen. It'd be a wild open Donnybrook, as I call it, and it would be interesting. We'd probably have 40 to 50 candidates on both sides if Biden chooses not to run.
What do you think about Governor Hochul or Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago? Do they have aspirations of VP or something higher?
Governor Hochul? No, not really. And Lori Lightfoot? Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Left is the best medicine, but I didn't know if maybe she had aspirations to become VP.
No, I don't
VP
think so. Something higher. She's a person of color, but no, I don't think she would. I don't see. And her name, I hate to say it, the name is hilarious. I'm sorry, it's a name, but it's a very strange name, Lori Lightfoot.
Well, judged by her performance as mayor, I call her Lori Lightbrain.
I don't follow Chicago that closely to know, but the governor of New York, of course, took over from Cuomo. She's all right, but I don't see her as having national aspirations. I really don't think so. But I think J.T. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, does. He's made it clear he does, and so does the governor of California. You know.
And Governor Gretchen from Michigan, any aspirations?
He might also. She might be a candidate if Biden's not running. I don't think she would challenge him, you know, if he's running. But I think she would be one of those. I'm not sure she'd get very far, but I could see her being one of those who might announce, yes. I mean, it's a long list of who might announce, certainly. But a lot depends on what Joe Biden is going to do. And he has to make a decision. And in a way, I think he's going to probably announce he's running because his wife seems to want him to run. She's pushing him, so. But I'm not, again, I have such mixed feelings. I like Joe Biden, and I think he's done quite a bit that's quite good. But I really think at 82 in 2 years, it's old enough to leave, just like I think, as I wrote in the last week, that the House Democratic leadership, no matter what happens in the election, needs to change. I just don't think it's acceptable to have 82-year-old, the 82-year-old Speaker of the House, and then also have Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, 83, and James Clyburn, the House Majority Whip, 82, and that's at the moment. I just think it's time, so as I wrote, the people being talked about to replace them, whether they're the majority or the minority, would be Hakeem Jeffries of New York, who's African-American, to be the Speaker or the Minority Leader, Catherine Clark of Massachusetts to be the second-ranking Majority Leader, or else the next position, you know, it's the minority, and Pete Aguilar of California, who's Hispanic, to be the third ranking, and they're much younger, because it's time for a change. And even Mitch McConnell, he probably will stay on as Senate majority or minority leader, but he really shouldn't. Yeah. He's 80 years old. He's older than Biden.
Yeah. Bottom line, we might find the Democratic field to be as fascinating and large as the Republican field, depending upon what Biden chooses to do. And
as far as the House, I think after the problem now that Pelosi's had with her husband being attacked, even if they become the majority again, I think Pelosi very likely will not stay on as Speaker, and she may even leave Congress. We'll have to see. But, it's a terrible situation what happened. We don't know the whole story. But the point is that I think it's time for her to leave because of her age. I mean, she's in good shape mentally. She knows what she's doing. She knows a lot more than most men that age would know. But I do think it's enough time. You need to have a new generation, and the Republicans really could use it as well.
And we'll talk about the attack on Mr. Pelosi a little later in the show. Very tragic event.
Yes.
Adam here on the Talking Place with
Dr. It was a hammer. Imagine if he had a gun, he would have killed him.
Yeah.
At least it was not a gun, which I find interesting. Why didn't this guy not have a gun? You know, I'm wishing it, but I'm just surprised, you know.
Adam here on the Talking Place with Dr. Ron L. Feinman for Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. You wrote about a week and a half ago, Ron, worrisome how economy issue is making many voters ignore abortion and democracy issues. And I say as you know, with me, I'm independent, lean libertarian. I really consider myself more to the left, just have a keep your laws off my body mentality. And the economy is extremely important, and abortion is extremely important also. And I wish I could find candidates who thought like I did. There aren't too many. There have been some historically, but seems like everybody's to the extreme, where I would agree with them economically, but when it comes to things like people having choices over their own body, that's where we diverge. And people have to have
I think you would really want to have Congressman John Anderson come back from the dead, wouldn't you?
I would, if there are...
He had in the 1980s an independent for president,
right.
John Anderson.
There are people that I wish would come back from heaven to run. John Anderson, Geraldine Ferraro, those two certainly come to mind. And goodness sakes, even Gerald Ford. I wouldn't mind seeing him run.
Yeah, back to the 70s and 80s we're going.
Yeah, he's someone from Michigan that I certainly have more of a liking for than the two ladies who want to be governor. Let's put it that way. And that's what's a shame. It was very common, Ron, just a generation ago, barely, when candidates were moderate. And this,
yes, the Republican Party was actually quite moderate, to a little to the right, but moderate in the 70s and 80s in the Senate. Now the Senate Republicans are just, in my mind, a disgrace. And there might be worse if all these Republicans running win those seats, because I think they're worse than most of the people in the Senate. That's how bad I think they are. I don't think Herschel Walker, J.D. Vance, or Dr. Oz belong in the Senate, but they might all win.
The main thing was the economy, conservative economic approach. And then we have these anomalies like President Clinton, who was quite conservative economically, and
yes, he was a moderate,
very Democrat, different, yes. Very different from a lot of the current Democrats. So even in the last,
Carter was a moderate Democrat when he ran.
Yeah, you take a look at his history, and being governor of Georgia being a rather Republican state, and we have a person who ran a very successful family business. Jokes all you want about the peanut farm and Billy Carter and his gas station, but they were very successful business people. Billy Carter, you know, and especially with when his mother said he was the smarter of the two.
Well, that was crazy. I think she was drunk when she said that.
But, you know, Billy Carter still, you know, jokes aside, he was a good businessman. As you know, my favorite presidential sibling, and Jimmy Carter. He may sound like a hick. I mean, he's still alive. He does have that, you know, country bumpkin sound to him, but he's very smart. Don't let.
And on November 1, he's actually 98 and 1 month already. Can you believe that?
Don't let his
November 1, 98.
Don't let his country nature fool you. That guy's a smart cookie, and approaching 100 years old, he's still sharp as a tack and still very
and
active.
Some observers think his IQ, it's hard to know with IQ, he might have been the smartest intellectually of any president, or up there with Jefferson and John Quincy Adams. You know, it's hard to know exactly. He is very intellectual, very bright, you know.
Well, I will say that if he were to take an IQ test,
he walked without assistance. Yeah. He's a little careful, but, and his wife's still there. She's 95. It's the longest presidential marriage. It's really wonderful, you know.
I will say, if he were to take an IQ test versus the current president and the most recent president, Ron, I think we know who would win. Would you agree that Carter would blow away both of the last two presidents on an IQ test? Obama would give him a challenge for sure.
And I think Clinton would also. Clinton's also very bright. Yeah.
But yeah, Obama, I mean, law professor, very book smart. You know, I mean, seems very low in the controversy department versus our current one and most recent, which I think it's already helped him in the presidential rankings that maybe we underrated.
Well, also
him
being away from the office so long helps make you look better.
Yeah.
And once you die, you usually rise more. I don't know why. It just seems to work that way. Like when Truman died, his ranking went up.
Yeah, absence does make the heart grow fonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, gee, we miss him now. We don't miss him when he's still here. So Carter still gets attacked, and he's not sitting in the top 10, but I think he will move up in history once he's gone, you know.
But I think you and I would agree, Ron, it'd be nice to see some moderates, someone like Anderson, even like Bill Clinton, even like Carter, Mondale.
Yes, Mondale. Oh, my gosh, Mondale, yes.
Ferraro.
He died a year ago.
It's so hard to say that word, Ferraro. You can't possibly say that. Clearly. But just Geraldine.
Well, she died pretty young, actually. She died quite a while ago, you know.
But I mentioned I worked on her campaign. Loved her and Mondale. They would be a great team, and still wish they would have won. But
Yeah, well, they lost massively, like McGovern and Shriver lost in 72. It's a shame. But
can't cry over
spilt
milk.
We don't always get, in my opinion, the better candidate. What are you going to do? That's going to happen now, too. Some of the better candidates are going to lose, and it's going to be a shame. You're going to lose some of these people. Just like back in 1980, we lost Birch Bayh, we lost George McGovern, we lost others at that time. Frank Church, all those senators I loved, and they all lost in the Reagan landslide. So they went on, but they were not in the Senate anymore, and that's what's going to probably happen here again.
Let's get back to the tragic event of earlier in October. You wrote in your blog entry, Ron, Sunday, violent attack on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, just tip of the iceberg, incited by Donald Trump. Now, my question first is, how do you know that Donald Trump is involved?
Well, I don't mean directly, but he incites violence. Look, after he called for, by not taking action to stop the January 6th insurrection, he was promoting violence against both Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. And he did you notice he has not said a thing about this to say he's sorry what happened and he regrets it or even say, yeah, I hope everything's all right. He hasn't said a thing. So he has no regard for anything such as law. He is a lawless person, and that's why he incites other people to commit violence, including the QAnon people. He even uses QAnon at his rallies. So I think he is not directly like he did it, but I think he can be held responsible.
So you're saying he doesn't condone it. He has not condemned it. He's kind of pled the fifth, basically. And
he does everything that way, but he has provoked violence. He has talked about attacking people when he was president and when he was running. He's always talking about being rough with people. He's got a mentality that promotes violence and bloodshed. Not that he personally does it, of course not. But his followers, many of them are lunatics, and they believe that he's somehow coming from God, and they think he's coming back next week and all this. And how about those people? Who follow him that think the evangelicals that think that everything is that God has blessed him to be the leader, they're out of their mind. They really are. And it's terrifying.
You don't think he's just being quiet because advisors certainly are telling him what he should do, just so he doesn't involve more controversy? It's hard to say.
I think he just doesn't give a damn, really. He doesn't care if Pelosi or her husband died. He doesn't give a damn about it. Only a few Republicans have already spoken up. McCarthy did, and McConnell did. But you don't hear a lot of the other people in the Congress speaking up on it. They don't care because they provoke violence. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's actually called for violence in the past against Nancy Pelosi. So is Lauren Boebert and people like that. These people should not be allowed to be in Congress because they were involved in the insurrection. They definitely were provoking the insurrection, and they should be removed by Article 3 of the 14th Amendment. They should not be allowed to run for public office, but they are, and they're probably going to win, and they're going to become major factors under Speaker McCarthy, and it's going to be chaos and anarchy in the House, and I'm very worried about it.
Do you think we'll ever know the full story? There's been a lot, as we talked about offline before going on the air, Ron, been a lot a lot of gossip, lack of a better term.
Twitter. But I understand Elon Musk is promoting rumors about it, too. And, of course, now he controls Twitter. And I think that's a disaster because Elon Musk, I think, is a lunatic. I think he's very dangerous and he's power hungry. And I think he's really a menace. But, people can buy power. And that's what's happening here. But I don't know if we'll ever know the whole story. But we're going to get a lot of rumors that are going to be ugly. And who knows what the truth is? I don't know.
One thing that we can agree on. There's a lot of security in that neighborhood and around the Pelosi's home. How did this person get access?
Apparently there isn't, unless she's there. That's what I've heard, that if she's present, they're there. But if she's not present, there's no one there. I don't know why they don't cover the house and the other people. The only other person is her husband. Apparently she has to be present to be protected, not her husband, unless he happens to be there when she's there. Which I don't really understand why that is. And the thing is, isn't there a security system?
Different.
What?
Something just doesn't smell right there.
It's a little strange. And also, why did he use a hammer to break a window? I mean, I guess that could happen even with the security system. But I don't. A lot of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, as I said, something
apparently
doesn't.
There is no security unless the person himself is there or himself. And he's not the speaker. She is. So I don't know. I'm sure we're going to find out more, but there's a lot of rumors going around, and a lot of it's going to be, I'm sure, not accurate, and it's going to it's going to cause more grief for that family, certainly.
I mean, something doesn't smell right, Ron. That's what I'm saying. It's a tragic event, and no one has any business doing that. I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but I wish the Pelosis well. I hope he recovers completely. It's tragic. Not the way to get your point across, folks. Go on a radio talk show, write a letter to the editor, make a post on social media, but don't be violent. And may the perpetrator receive a swift and strict punishment. Let's hope that that happens.
Yeah, but one thing I still can't get is why a hammer? You would think if you're invading, you would have a firearm. I'm glad it wasn't, but it just doesn't make sense. Why a hammer? And why he had a hammer, too, and the cops come in, and why did they shoot this guy before he could hit, Paul Pelosi? It's like they're there, and they don't stop him. I'm sure if he was African-American, they would have killed him. But because he was, I gather, a white guy, they didn't stop him before he attacked Paul Pelosi. The whole thing doesn't make sense, even with the cops.
No, the whole thing is odd, Ron, and people are saying, was it an inside job? I tend to think it probably was, but I don't know. Either way, it's inexcusable. And that's not how we solve problems, how we confront our enemies, write things on social media, go on a radio talk show, write a letter to the editor, but don't take a hammer and break into someone's home and assault a spouse. Uncool, and it does not make the other side look good, I'll tell you that much. And let's hope
it does not. And not many of them are reacting. And again, the former president has not said anything about how sorry he is to hear about it. And why couldn't he? There's no reason he couldn't do that, but that's just the way he is.
Now, you wrote in your blog, Ron, this incident represents a second attempt of Trump and his supporters to threaten the life of Nancy Pelosi after the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol, where Trump remains silent. That Trump needs to be held accountable for these threats, a situation that has never occurred before for the top leaders in the presidential succession.
And I'm concerned about from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and if Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker and Chuck Grassley becomes President pro tempore, they have to have their families protected too, and where they live, not just the individual, but it's an extra expense, of course, of government.
Do you think, Ron, Trump has to be subpoenaed to testify and ask if he was involved? What do you think Trump's
been subpoenaed already. He's supposed to be appearing in November, supposedly, but it's not clear if he's going to. He always avoids subpoenas, so he could be, I don't know what they can do, but I do think the indications are that he's going to be indicted for something after the midterm elections, once that day is paid. I'm sure sometime in late November. We'll see what happens. But
what do you think?
I don't know. There's all those rumors, but it's a difficult thing. It's going to probably provoke more violence by his supporters, but it doesn't mean we should let somebody get away with things because other people are going to provoke violence. But it's a scary situation we have. And also the anti-Semitism that's erupting is very disturbing. Very disturbing. And it's really, not just about Kanye West, and also the Kyrie Irving of the New York Brooklyn Nets player, who are both African-American, but all the other things going on, all these white supremacists are cheering these African-Americans for being anti-Semitic. It's a terrifying situation that should not be existing. And he himself has promoted that, Trump, by attacking Jews for being Democrats and not being supportive of Israel 100%, as if you can't be Jewish and not always agree with Israel.
What do you think Donald Trump's...
There's a lot of issues going on now. A lot of things we can talk about in future weeks.
What do you think Donald Trump's responsibility is for this incident? Does he need to be questioned, asked, was he involved?
About the speaker? I would just say he's not responsible for that person, no, but it's just his whole rhetoric helps promote people wanting to go after Nancy, that kind of a thing, because he's very critical of Nancy. It's just very hard to know how it can be. I don't think that's the biggest issue that he faces. He has the issue of all these documents on China and Iran that I wrote about that he's not supposed to have had. There's so many other issues he could be indicted on. He can't be indicted on everything, but the man is a lawbreaker, and he should not be allowed to run for president, and it can be done by using Article 14, the 14th Amendment, Section 3. He should not be allowed to run again for the presidency, because he would be a threat and a danger if he was elected.
At any rate,
rumors he might pick Marjorie Taylor Greene to be his running mate. Can you imagine that?
And that would certainly be fodder for talk shows.
That would make Sarah Palin look brilliant. And she's losing, it looks like, in that Alaska House race. But imagine that she would look better. Sarah Palin.
Well, Sarah, she's...
This is a crazy country we're going into now, that we have now.
Well, Sarah's quite a piece of work. Well, on that note, we'll thank our listeners for tuning in. As I said, it goes by fast. You may have sworn at your listening device a couple times, and hopefully we provided food for thought. You've learned a few things, and most importantly, laughed at least half a dozen times. Ron Fineman, thank you again for being my guest here on
Thank you.
The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.